الحمد لله رب العالمين ألف بين قلوب عباده المؤمنين فجعلهم إخوة متحابين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أمرنا أن نعتصم بحبل الله أجمعين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمد عبد الله ورسوله الصادق الأمين الذي آخى بين الأنصار والمهاجرين فصاروا إخوة في الدين اللهم صل وسلم عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد أيها الحضور الكريم وأيها المستمعون والمستمعات في كل مكان سلام الله عليكم ورحمته وبركاته وبعد فيسرنا أن نجدد اللقاء العلمي مع والدنا العزيز وشيخنا الجليل فضيلة الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن عبد الله العجلان حفظه الله تعالى ورعاه في اللقاءات الأسبوعية مع مشايخنا الأفاضل وعلمائنا الأجلاء وأصالة عن نفسي ونيابة عن إخواني في جمعية القرآن والسنة بنيويورك وسائر المستمعين يسعدني أن أرحب فضيلة الشيخ بأجمل ترحيب ونشكره لموافقته الكريمة سائلين الله أن يجعل هذا في موازين حسناته وأن يبارك في علمه وعمره أيها الإخوة ضيف حلقتنا اليوم مشهور ومعروف وله إسهامه الدعوي الكبير إلى جانب إسهامه في مجال الفقه والقضاء لقد طلب العلم على مجموعة من كبار العلماء وبدأ حياته العملية مدرسا فكان مدرسا في الحرس الملكي ثم في معهد المدينة والمسجد النبوي والآن له دروس متنوعة في الحرم المكي فنسأل الله أن يتقبل منه وأن يجزيه خير الجزاء إنه سميع مجيب. Dear brothers and sisters, we at the Quran and Sunnah Society of New York welcome you all to our live weekly lectures which are being broadcast live to all participating masajids as well as through our website at www.albasira.org as well as on Paltalk. And it is a great honor to have with us once again our noble Sheikh Abd al-Rahman ibn Abdullah al-Ajlan hafizahullah ta'ala wa ra'ala. He is a well-known scholar and is very active in da'wah. He spent his life learning and teaching and as a judge in Islamic courts. From among his teachers are Samahat al-Sheikh Abdullah bin Hamid and Samahat al-Sheikh Abdul Razak Afifi and Samahat al-Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz Rahimahum Allah. And those, as you know, they were the imams of their time. And also from among his mashaykh are those who lecture regularly at albasira.org and they are Ma'aliyya Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Subayyil as well as Ma'aliyya Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Ghudayan. Hafizahum Allah. And indeed it is a great blessing of Allah to have with us such scholars to teach us. May Allah reward them all and may Allah give us the tawfiq to benefit from them. Dear brothers, our today's guest has taught in many places which includes Prophet's Masjid in Medina and Nabawiyyah, and currently he has regular classes in Al-Masjid Al-Haram in the Grand Masjid in Mecca. We thank him for making himself available for us and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him the greatest reward. And now we ask our Shaykh to proceed. والآن مع شيخنا العزيز فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، أيها الإخوة، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، وأحمد الله جل وعلا إليكم الذي يسر وسهل لنا هذا اللقاء وهذا الاتصال، وقد كان متعذرا في الزمن القريب، لكن الله جل وعلا يسره وسهله، فأرجو الله جل وعلا أن يجعلني وإياكم من المتعاونين على البر والتقوى. نعم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the Sheikh started by extending the salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He went on to say that he praises Allah Ta'ala for facilitating this meeting, for facilitating this telelink, which was in the past impossible. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in these times has made it easy and possible. So he asks Allah Ta'ala to grant us to be from amongst those who cooperate upon bir and taqwa. Naam.
Wa usikum wa nafsi bi taqwa Allah jalla wa ala allati hiya wasiyatuhu lil awwalina wal akhirina min khalqihi, حيث يقول عز من قائل: ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن اتقوا الله. وتقوى الله جل وعلا بأن يعمل العبد بطاعة الله على نور من الله رجاء ثواب الله، وأن يترك ويبتعد عن معصية الله على نور من الله خوفاً من عقاب الله.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah went on to say that I advise you, as well as myself, to have taqwa, as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala advised the first and the last of creation to have taqwa of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said what translated means, and we had advised those who were given the book before you, as well as yourselves, to have taqwa of Allah. And taqwa of Allah means that you act upon, or that you obey Allah on, with a light from Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah Ta'ala. And it means that you stay away from disobeying Allah Ta'ala upon a light from Allah Ta'ala, fearing the punishment of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Naam.
Wa usikum bil muhafazati على رابطة الأخوة الإيمانية وتنميتها، فهي أقوى الروابط بين الأفراد والشعوب والأمم. أقوى رابطة هي رابطة الأخوة الإيمانية. يقول الله جل وعلا: إنما المؤمنون إخوة. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحث عليها وينهى عما يناقضها أو ينافيها أو يخدشها. فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تحاسدوا.
And I advise you to take care of the brotherhood that is between you, and it is the brotherhood of Iman, the brotherhood of faith. And I advise you to work on it and to strengthen it, for indeed it is the strongest of ties between the people. It is the brotherhood of faith is the strongest of ties between brothers, and it's the strongest of ties between nations. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, indeed the believers are only but brothers. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam encouraged everything that led to brotherhood, and he prohibited everything that distorted or contradicted brotherhood and opposed it. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, do not envy one another. Naam.
فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يكذبه ولا يحقره. التقوى هاهنا, ويشير إلى صدره 3 مرات. بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم. كل المسلم على المسلم حرام, دمه وماله وعرضه. رواه مسلم.
أبو هريرة رضي الله عنهم narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, do not envy one another, and do not hate one another, and do not argue with one another, and do not detest one another, and do not buy over what your brother is buying, and be brothers of Allah having taqwa between the Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. He does not oppress him, and he does not deny him, and he does not betray him. It is enough of evil for a Muslim to betray his fellow Muslim. Taqwa is here, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to his heart 3 times, saying, taqwa is here. All the Muslim is to another Muslim impermissible, his money, his wealth, and his ird, his money, his wealth, and his personality, meaning do not speak about him. Naam.
ويؤكد صلى الله عليه وسلم قوة الرابطة بين المؤمنين, ويعيد عليها الثواب الجزيل في الدنيا والآخرة. فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة, ومن يسر على معسر يسر الله عليه في الدنيا والآخرة, ومن ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة, والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه. الحديث كما في صحيح مسلم رحمه الله.
The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم affirmed this, and he strengthened the ties between the believers. But Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever relieves from a believer one of the calamities in the dunya, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will relieve him of a calamity in the dunya, in the life of this world, as well as in the life of the next. And whoever from amongst the Muslims makes an affair easy for a Muslim who is in hardship, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make that Muslim's affair in the dunya, in the life of this world, easy, as well as his affair easy in the life of the after, as well as in the afterlife. And whoever conceals the sins of a believer, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will conceal his sins in the life of this world as well as the next. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will continue aiding his servant as long as his servant continues aiding another servant, as is in Sahih Muslim. Naam.
فهذه الرابطة أيها الإخوة, رابطة الإيمان, هي التي ربطت بيني وبينكم مع تباعد الأقطار واختلاف الأجناس وتباين اللغات، لكنها الأخوة الإيمانية التي أرجو الله جل وعلا أن نحيا عليها ونموت عليها، وأن نجتمع تحت لواء المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم في الدار الآخرة، وأن ندخل الجنة إن شاء الله بشفاعته صلى الله عليه وسلم.
This tie, the tie of Iman, it is the tie that joins between me and you, meaning me, the Sheikh, and you, even though the distance between us is great and the languages that we speak are different and our nationalities vary. I pray to Allah Ta'ala that we live by Iman and that we die upon Iman, and that we are joined together under the banner of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the afterlife, and enter Jannah upon Iman. Naam.
نبدأ الآن بالجواب على السؤال الأول.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. And now inshallah ta'ala we will proceed with questions. The first question was, children who have not reached age of puberty, when they commit major sins, are they accountable?
ثم الإجابة على السؤال الأول، من كان دون البلوغ فليس بمكلف، ولكنه يؤمر بالخير وينهى عن الشر ويؤدى بالأدب الذي يناسبه ويشجع على طاعة الله جل وعلا، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: مروا أولادكم بالصلاة لسبع واضربوهم عليها لعشر. الحديث.
The Sheikh responded by saying that children who did not reach the age of puberty are not held responsible or accountable for their actions or deeds. However, they are to be ordered to do the good, and they are to be prohibited from practicing the evil, and they are to be encouraged to practice good manners, and they are to be encouraged to obey and practice obedience to Allah Ta'ala. This is due to the saying of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam: order your children to establish the prayers when they are seven, and beat them for it when they reach the age of 10. Naam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu fikum. The second question is, my father is Muslim and he prays, but he refuses to give his money to pay the annual zakah over what he possesses. The majority of the money that my father has is from the haram, selling of alcohol, pork and riba. So may he pay the zakah even if his goods are from the haram. Afiduna barakallahu fikum.
إجابة على السؤال الثاني، على المسلم اجتناب الحرام وتحري الكسب الحلال، وقد قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لن تموت نفس حتى تستكمل رزقها، فاتقوا الله وأجملوا في الطلب. والمرء إذا استعجل رزقه قد يأخذه من الحرام، وإذا اتقى الله وترك الحرام أتاه رزقه من الحلال. والزكاة قرينة الصلاة، ويجب على المسلم إخراجها، وإذا امتنع يستتاب، فإن تاب وإلا قتل. على التفصيل في قتله كفرا أو حدا حسب حجته في المنع، ويخرجها المسلم حتى وإن كان الكسب أو بعضه حرام. ثم الفرق بين الحرام والحلال، أن الحلال يؤجر عليه المرء في الدنيا والآخرة، والحرام يؤخذ منه ويحرم الأجر والعياذ بالله.
It is upon the Muslim to stay as far as away as possible from impermissible means, and it is upon him to carefully select the halal risk, the permissible forms of risk. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, a soul will not taste death until it finishes or completes all of its provision, all of its risk. So a person may hurry and take his provision from what is impermissible, and another may have patience and have taqwa and fears Allah, and it will come to him in any case from a permissible income. Zakat, concerning zakat, then it is the partner or the brother of salah, and whoever refuses to pay the zakat is to be asked to make a tawbah or to be killed, depending on the reason why he is not given zakat. He's to be killed as a had, or he's to be killed as a kafir, depending as a disbeliever, depending on why he's not paying the zakat. And he's supposed to pay zakat whether it is from an impermissible means of money or it is a permissible. It is permissible, and the difference is that if he pays his zakat from a permissible form of provision, then he is rewarded in the life of this world as well as the next for it. However, if he pays zakat from a means that is not permissible, then it is taken from him, but he is prevented from getting any reward in the afterlife. Naam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. Brother asked if Islam is restricted to Arabs only, and he wanted to show that Islam does not say that one has to be an Arab to be Muslim.
إجابة على السؤال الثالث. نعم، يقول الله جل وعلا: يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم، في سورة الحجرات. ويقول تعالى في نفس السورة: إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا. وقول من قال إن المرء لا يكون مسلما حتى يكون من العرب جهل، ولا يقول به إلا من هو جاهل لا يدري ما يقول. فالمؤمنون الأولون من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، منهم من هو من فارس كسلمان رضي الله عنه، ومنهم من هو من الحبشة كبلال رضي الله عنه وغيرهما، ومنهم من هو من اليهود كعبد الله بن سلام ورضي الله عنه وغيره من الصحابة. فلا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لعجمي على عربي إلا بتقوى الله جل وعلا، فمن اتقى الله جل وعلا فالله وليه من أي جنس ولون من العرب أو من العجب ممن يتكلم بالعربية أو يتكلم بغيرها من اللغات، فهو إذا اتقى الله جل وعلا فهو المؤمن التقي.
الشيخ حفظه الله responded by saying that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, what translated means, O people, we have created you from a male and female, and we have made you different nationalities and different tribes in order that you may get to know each other, in Surah Al-Hujurat. And also in the same Surah, Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, indeed, the believers are those who believed in Allah and His Messenger, and then they did not turn back. So this person who says that a non-Arab cannot be a Muslim, this person is ignorant. This is ignorance, and he does not know what he is saying. The companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam were from different nationalities. For example, Salman, he was from Faris. Bilal was from Habasha, Ethiopia. And Abdullah ibn Khallam, he was a Jew. So there is no virtue for an Arab over a non-Arab. An Arab does not have any virtue over a non-Arab except through taqwa. So whoever has taqwa of Allah, whether he is an Arab or not, whatever his nationality is, whatever language he speaks, whoever has taqwa, he is the believer. He is the believer who fears Allah. Naam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. The next question is, I am 23-year-old Muslima who would like to get married. Unfortunately, my father does not pray, and most of my brothers don't pray either. Only one of my brother makes prayer, but he is in prison. I would like to know if my father is still my wali, even though he does not pray. If not, who can be my wali? And if my brother who is in prison, can he be my wali? And how should we proceed as he is in prison? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
الإجابة على السؤال الرابع: إذا كان أبوك يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله فهو مسلم وهو وليك، ما لم يحكم بكفره حاكم، فإذا حكم بكفره حاكم فليس بولي، وما دام لم يحكم بكفره فالأصل أن الولاية له وعلى من حوله من أهله ومعارفه ممن علم بحاله وتخلفه عن الصلاة أن يناصحه ويناصح أولاده الذين لا يصلون، وعليه أن يرفق بهم وأن يدعوهم إلى الله تعالى ويرغبهم في الخير ويخففهم من الشر ومن عقاب الله ونقمته. فقد قال الله تعالى عن أهل النار: ما سلككم في سقر؟ قالوا: لم نك من المصلين.
The response to the fourth question is that as long as your father proclaims the shahada that there is no deity worthy of worship in truth except Allah Ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, then he is a Muslim, as long as a judge does not proclaim him to be a disbeliever. If a judge proclaims him to be a disbeliever, meaning a Muslim hakim, a Muslim judge, then he has no wilayah over you. He is not your wali. However, as long as the judge does not declare him to be a disbeliever, then he is your wali. And it is upon his family and those people who are close to him to advise him to establish the prayer. And it is upon him to be soft with his children and to advise them to establish the prayer and to encourage them to practice good deeds and to discourage them from practicing evil. The Shaykh went on to mention the saying of Allah Ta'ala: and what has brought you to Saqar? What has brought you into the hellfire? They would answer, we were not from amongst those who established the prayer. Naam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. The next question is, the only designated masjid in prison is full of fitna, such as disunity, racial prejudice, backbiting, slandering, theft, and possibly homosexuality. Is it permissible for a Muslim to refrain from attending Salatul Jum'ah there based on Ayah 107 of Surah 9 of Surah Tawbah and still remain a practicing Muslim? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
Al-Ijabatu الإجابة على السؤال الخامس: المسجد بيت الله، وهو مكان العبادة والطاعة لله تعالى، ويجب تطهيره من كل القبائح والدعوات المضللة، ولا يترك المسجد للشيطان يفرخ فيه، وإنما يجتمع نخبة ممن يرتادون المسجد للقيام عليه وحفظه من كل ما يضر به أو يضر بأهله، وإذا جدد شيء من ذلك فيعالج برفق ولين وتلطف بالإصلاح والدعوة إلى الله، ولا يعتزل المسجد لما قد يوجد فيه من شر فيزيد الشر.
The masjid is the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is the place where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is worshipped. It is to be purified. It is wajib, it is obligatory for it to be purified from all impurities and filth. And it should not be forsaken for the shaitan to do as he wills with it. So I advise that a group is picked, a group of brothers are picked to try and preserve the masjid from all evils. And if they find an evil or something harmful, something not permissible within the masjid, then it is upon these appointed brothers to try and cure the situation with lenience and softness and kindness. The masjid cannot be forsaken and left, because if it is left, all that will happen is the evil that is within it will only increase, or the evil that is being practiced within it will increase. Naam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. The next question is, how can we calculate the prayer times by the sun? What if it is cloudy? Can you still calculate by this way? Is it better to calculate it or to use a prayer timetable from a website? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
الإجابة على السؤال السادس: نعرف أوقات الصلاة بالشمس وبطلوع الفجر، وإذا حجبت الشمس بالسحب ولم يظهر لنا طلوع الفجر رجعنا إلى الساعة وإلى ما وضعه أهل الصنف والاختصاص من علامات دخول الوقت، ولا بأس بالرجوع إلى الشبكة العنكبوتية إذا احتيج إلى ذلك، علما بأنه لا يجوز أن تقدم الصلاة عن وقتها، كما لا يجوز تأخيرها إلا لمن يسوغ له الجمع بين الصلاتين اللتين يجوز جمعهما كالظهر والعصر وكالمغرب والعشاء. وإذا اشتبه علينا الأمر فتأخير الصلاة أولى وهو أصح من تقديمها، فتقديمها لا يجوز بحال، وتأخيرها يجوز قضاء إذا احتيج إلى ذلك وخفي الأمر.
We know what time to pray, or the prayer times by the sun, or by the time that the fajr emerges. However, if the sun is concealed from us by the clouds, for example, then there is no problem that we go back to the clock to find out when the prayer starts. Or we go out to the people who have studied these matters and put the appointed times for the prayers to find out when the prayer starts. And there is no problem in going back into the internet, if needed, to find out what time the prayers are to be established, knowing or having knowledge that it is not permissible for anybody to pray before the appointed time for that specific prayer, or to delay that prayer after the time for that specific prayer ends, except for the prayers that are allowed to be joined, such as the Dhuhr and the Asr, or the Maghrib and the Isha. If one is confused or is not sure when a specific prayer begins, then it is better for him to delay the prayer. It is better than to delay the prayer than to pray it earlier, because praying the prayer earlier is never permitted. However, praying it late is permitted, as you can make a prayer up. Naam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. If a sister gives charity for her own, from her own money, would it still count in reward for her husband, and would it be encouraged for her to seek his permission in this aspect as well?
الإجابة على السؤال السابع. يؤجر زوجها إذا أعانها على ذلك وشجعها ودلها على وجوه البر والإحسان، لقوله تعالى: وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى. ولا تحتاج المرأة إلى إذن زوجها إذا كانت صدقتها من مالها، لأنه عليه الصلاة والسلام لما رغب النساء بالصدقة وبدأن ينزعن من حليهن لم يأمرهن بالاستئذان من أزواجهن، بل جمعها بلال رضي الله عنه وصرفها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في مصارفها.
The husband is rewarded if he helps her in doing so and encourages her to do so, and he is also rewarded in all things that he helps or encourages, all good actions that he helps or encourages her to do, based upon the saying of Allah Ta'ala: and encourage one another, or cooperate with one another, based upon bir and taqwa. The husband's permission is not needed if the sadaqah that she is given is from her own money. He does not need his permission, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when he ordered the women to give sadaqah, they took from their jewelry and gave sadaqah without asking their husbands. And Bilal radiallahu anhu gathered it and gave it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who then used it. Naam.
Ahsan Allahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. The next question is: a man is trying to engage in a business where he might accept credit cards or help from doubtful sources, like Islamic banks with hidden agendas. He sometimes asks the wife for help in this business. The wife and best friend try to warn him against this, but he persists. What can the wife do to protect herself from the haram of the husband? Would she be blamed if she kept quiet about it? أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
الإجابة على السؤال الثامن: لا يلزم المرأة أن تتتبع تصرفات زوجها، وإنما عليها مناصحته وترغيبه في الخير وتحذيره من الشر برفق ولين، ولها أن تأكل مما يعطيها زوجها لوجوب نفقتها عليه، ولا يجب عليها أن تسأل عن مصدر ذلك. والله جل وعلا يقول: الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم، وإنما عليها المناصحة والكلام معه فيما ينتفع به من توجهه إلى الكسب الطيب وابتعاده عن الكسب الخبيث.
it is not upon the wife to follow up or to investigate her husband's transactions. It is only upon her to advise him with good, with patient, with lenience and softness, and to be patient. And it is also permissible for her to eat from what he provides her with, due to the obligation upon him to provide for his spouse. And it is not upon her to ask about the source of such provision. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, men are the providers and the maintainers of women, due to what Allah has bestowed of virtue to some, or to men over women, and because of what they provide from their wealth. So it is only upon her to advise him and to speak to him with that which would lead him and benefit him in trying to attain permissible sources for his provision, and to warn him from attaining impermissible sources for the provision. Naam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The next question is, I would like to know what is permissible and impermissible of a wife to say about her husband to another sister. Is she allowed to talk about his personality, about her husband and his piety to other sisters? What are actions of a wife that are disliked to a husband? أفيدونا بارك الله فيكم.
الإجابة على السؤال التاسع: للمرأة أن تذكر محاسن زوجها من الصلاح والاستقامة والبر والمعروف والمحافظة على الفرائض والمداومة على طاعة الله، وتستر ما فيه من نقص وعيب فلا تذكره فيما يكره، وتناصحه فيما يكون فيه من تقصير وهو قادر على استدراكه. أما ما يتعلق بالجماع والشهوة والاستمتاع وما يستحيا من ذكره فلا يجوز لها ذكره بين النساء.
It is upon a wife to mention her husband's piety, to mention his good acts, to mention how he always practices what is obligatory upon him, and everything good about him, including his manners. However, it is upon her to conceal everything that he hates to be mentioned about him, including his shortcomings. And concerning his shortcomings, she is to advise him into what he is able to fulfill. As for speaking about sexual relationships and the like, then it is not permissible for her to speak about her husband in such a manner. Naam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The next question is, what is the ruling on us? Woman who applies perfume on her in her home, must she make ghusl again after she applies perfume on her and when she is going out? Afiduna barakallahu fikum.
Al ijabatu ala al su'al al ashir. La yajuzu lil mar'ati an takhruja muta'attira ولها أن تستعمل الطيب في بيتها، وإذا أرادت الخروج فيحرم عليها استعمال الطيب.
The Sheikh responded by saying that it is not permissible for a woman to leave her home while she's perfumed, or after she has used perfume, and it is permissible for her to use perfume if she stays in her home. However, if she intends to leave the house, then it is not permissible for her to use perfume. Naam.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The next question is, what criterion are we to use to judge if our country is Ahl Kitab or other, and the grocery stores is halal considering that many people who work in slaughterhouse are not from Ahlul Kitab. Afiduna barakallahu fikum.
الإجابة على السؤال الحادي عشر: إذا كان حاكم البلاد وغالب أهلها من اليهود أو من النصارى فيقال لهم من أهل الكتاب وإن لم يلتزموا باليهودية ولا النصرانية، لأن الله جل وعلا سماهم أهل الكتاب في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونزول الوحي وهم مشركون، فاليهود يقولون عزير بن الله والنصارى يقولون المسيح بن الله، وذلك شرك أكبر. وأما الذبائح فكل ذبيحة بحسب ذابحها، إن كان الذابح يهودي أو نصراني فهي ذبيحة أهل الكتاب، وإن كان الذبيحة غير مسلم ولا يهودي ولا نصراني فهي ذبيحة مشرك لا تحل.
If the ruler of a particular country and the majority of its people, the majority of the citizens are Christians or Jews, then they are to be called the people of the book, even if they do not practice Christianity and they do not practice Judaism. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala named them people of the book at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, while they were practicing major polytheism. They used to say that Uzair is the son of Allah, and the Christians used to say that Jesus is the son of Allah, Isa is the son of Allah. However, Allah Ta'ala still called them the people of the book. As for their meat, or as for the issue of the meat, then whether it is permissible or not depends on who slaughtered it. So if the person who slaughtered it was a Jew or a Christian, then it is considered to be from the meat of the people of the book. However, if it was an atheist or a polytheist that slaughtered it, then it is not permissible and it is considered to be from the meat of the polytheist. Naam.
Ahsanallahu ilaykum wa barakallahu feekum. And the last question is it permissible to throw away food in some instances, like if it has gone bad or it was burnt or it is not to your liking and you don't know anyone who would eat it? What about if too much was cooked and you don't know anyone to take the excessive food? Afiduna barakallahu feekum.
الإجابة على السؤال الثاني عشر والأخير: إذا استغنى المرء عن طعام ما أو زاد عن الحاجة ولا يمكن حفظه أطعم للبهائم، فإن لم يكن فيوضع في مكان طاهر لتأكله دابة من دواب الأرض أو طائر، ولا يلزم الإنسان أن يأكله، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قدم بين يديه طعام فيه بصل فلم يأكل منه، وأذن لغيره في الأكل منه، كما قدم بين يديه لحم ضب فكره صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يأكله وأذن لغيره أن يأكل منه، فلا يلزم الإنسان أن يأكل الطعام إذا قدم بين يديه إذا لم يرده، وإنما لا يجوز أن يوضع الطعام الذي يمكن أن يستفاد منه أن يوضع في الأماكن القذرة، وإنما يوضع في مكان طاهر لتأكله دابة أو طائر أو غير ذلك. والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
نعم. The Sheikh حفظه الله said that if a person has too much food and is unable to finish it, then it is permissible for him to put it in a pure place, not in an impure place, in order for animals to eat from it, or insects or birds. It is not incumbent upon him to eat everything. As onions were presented to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he did not eat from them, and he permitted others to eat from the onions. A lizard as well was presented to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam to eat from, and he refrained from eating from it, but he allowed others to eat from it. What is not permissible is that you put food that could be made use of in an impure place. Rather, one should put the food in a purified place in order for insects, animals, or birds to eat from it. وصلى اللهم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم ونكتفي بهذا القدر من الأسئلة وفي نهاية هذا اللقاء المبارك الطيب نكرر الشكر لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد عبد الرحمن العجلان على تفضله بإجابة على الأسئلة وإتاحة هذه الفرصة ونسأل الله أن يبارك فيه وفي ذريته وأن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. And dear brothers and sisters, with this we will conclude our today's session. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his tawfiq, and then we thank our honorable Shaykh for this opportunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and his family. We also thank our noble brother for translating. May Allah grant him success. And of course, we thank you all as well for your attendance. May Allah increase us all in beneficial knowledge and give us all the best of the dunya and the best of the akhirah. Inshallah, just a reminder, our next session will be on next Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 12:30 p.m. New York Time, and that will be 5:30 London Time and 8:30 Saudi Time. And next week, Saturday, we will have fiqh class on Durr al-Bahiyya. وجزاكم الله خيرا وإلى لقاء آخر نستودعكم الله
والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.